Hi, friends. I'm Kara Kay.
And I'm Elizabeth. And this is the Asking for a Friend podcast,
a show for the woman who has questions about herself, the church, and the world. We are providing a safe space to engage in tough topics.
But don't worry, we know you're only asking for a friend. Okay. Hey, Kara Kay, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you this week?
I'm doing great. The year is in full swing. Kids are back in school. I feel like I'm finally getting back into my routine. So life is good.
Yeah, I agree. And it's funny. I feel like every year we see those memes about how January is like a million years long. Like, have you seen those memes in the past where there's like a million days in January? I don't remember.
Yes.
But I feel like this year January is flying by.
It
We're
is.
In the third week of January. It's crazy.
It's crazy. It is. It's going by fast.
Yeah. So what is a little thing that's making a big impact in your week?
Okay. So I'm going to talk about a Christmas present I got from my husband. He gave me, it's called a comfy. Have you seen these?
Okay. Yes. That your whole body like goes into like a blanket
it's,
that you
yeah,
wear?
It's like a blanket for your body. And it even has a hood.
Amazing.
But I used to have a Snuggie. Did you ever have a Snuggie?
Yeah, I did.
Yep. Okay. Big fan of the Snuggie. And then someone pointed out to me, a Snuggie is just a robe put on backwards.
That's true.
Isn't that true?
That's so,
but,
true.
Yeah. But you can't really like take your Snuggie to your kid's soccer game and, you know,
right.
retain some dignity. So the comfy is, I feel like, the Snuggie 2.0. It's, yeah, it's super heavy and super thick. So he bought it for me for my kids' soccer games because, as you know, you have kids who play soccer. Soccer is always either 100 degrees or 40 degrees. There's rarely a nice day.
I know. It's so – if you have, like, a nice soccer day, that is shocking.
Oh, it's – yeah, it's, like, one out of the whole season. So he got it for me for these freezing cold soccer games. I mean, one soccer game, I literally was in a sleeping bag, like a hunting sleeping bag. And it was misting and – oh, it was freezing. So,
miserable.
But the great thing is I'm like I'm wearing my comfy right now. I love it so much. It keeps me warm when my house is cold and I've even like used it outside when I'm out there with the kids. I mean, I'm sure the neighbors think I look ridiculous, but I don't care. It's my comfy and I'll do what I want.
I need one of those to sleep in because I'm always cold at night.
Oh, like, yeah.
When I go to bed, so that I'd be hot after I actually fell asleep in it. But
yeah, I haven't tried it for sleeping.
That sounds amazing.
Okay, so what is your little thing?
So every year over Christmas break, we always kind of hunker down and we play a lot of games as a family. Do you guys do this over the break?
Yes. In fact, my kids are still in game playing mode.
Yeah, mine are too. And I love it because my husband always has the week after Christmas off because he's a pastor. And so that's kind of a crazy time of year. So they always just the office is closed that week after Christmas. And so it's really nice. And so he's home. And we got away as a family for like 10 days. And literally all we did the whole time we were away was play games. And my kids are still in game playing mode. And I love it because they barely have watched TV this whole month. And they come home from school now and they're like, what game are we going to play? Let's play this. And we got them some of those retro games from Target. Have you seen those that are like the games from when we were kids?
Yes.
That they've just remade. So we got them like Battleship and some of those and The Game of Life. And so they're playing all those games right now. And it's just so fun.
I love that. I love it when they're old enough to play games.
Yes, me too. And we actually taught our oldest, we've been teaching her card games that we like to play. And she's gotten really competitive. It's funny because she's not a super competitive kid, but she's really competitive with cards. And so she's been staying up and playing cards with us at night. And
that's
it's
awesome.
Just fun. So
fun.
Yeah, I love it. It just really makes, you know, when the kids are not constantly whining, I want to watch TV, I want to, you know, whatever, that they actually want to spend time with us. And I just feel like this will have a long-term impact on them, that they'll look back and remember, you know, Christmas break when all we did was play games. So I love it so much.
That's awesome. I love that.
It's so fun for us to talk each week about little things that are making a big impact in our lives. We're going to take a quick break and hear from our sponsor before we dive into today's conversation.
Do you have a desire to write but don't know where to start? Do you need people in your life who understand the ups and downs of that writer's life? Do you have an idea for a book but don't know how to take it from a great idea to a bestseller? If you answered yes, then we want to invite you to the next Collab Conference, April 22nd through the 24th in Waco, Texas. Collab Conference is an intimate gathering for Christian women writers. It's for women who long to build community with other like-minded writers. It's for women who want to gain clarity in the next steps of their writing journey. And it's for women who want to connect with writers, speakers, agents, and editors. This year, Collab Conference is meeting at the Serene Getaway Gathering Oaks Retreat. You'll hear from 8 dynamic speakers who will inspire and equip you to take your writing to the next level. And you'll gain friendships and connections that will last long after the conference ends. So don't wait. Space is limited and early bird registration is now open. Simply go to collab-conference.com and register today.
All right, guys, welcome to this week's episode. We are kicking off 2020 this year by talking about some health and wellness issues because everyone wants to get healthy in the new year. And today we are going to dive a little deeper into that discussion and talk about chronic pain. And we're answering the question, how do I live with chronic pain? So chronic pain is defined as pain that lasts more than 12 weeks. So Elizabeth, I know that you have dealt with some chronic pain issues in your life. Do you want to share some of your experiences with us?
Sure. Okay, so I started getting chronic migraines when I was about 10 years old, and I've had them ever since, so 30 plus years. And there's seasons in my life where the headaches have been manageable, and then there's seasons where they've been really debilitating. So in my childhood and teen years, you know, I would have, again, seasons where they were okay and then seasons where they were a little worse and I was taking daily medicine. And but then I went to college and I think I just powered through. I took a lot of Aleve, which is not great when you have headaches because it causes rebound headaches. But I would pretty much take Aleve morning and night almost every day in college. And then after college, I think it all caught up with me. And my migraines got really bad. I had one migraine that lasted for 6 months straight, every single day. Never went away, never got better. I was, during that 6 month period, I was in the hospital twice for a week each time. I was in the ER about 3 times, and it was just a constant battle to even leave the house. I mean, I pretty much stayed home all the time with the shades drawn because the light bothered me and noises bothered me. And I ended up during that 6 month period having to quit my job, and I dropped out of all activities because I just couldn't even, you know, interact with people. I was in so much pain every single day. So after that 6 month period, this is when I was about 26 years old, I saw a migraine specialist in Houston, and he put me on sort of a holistic treatment program, which I would recommend for anyone dealing with chronic pain. And we'll get into that a little bit more later. But he put me on this, you know, holistic treatment plan that was more than just, you know, take this medication and you'll feel better. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of lifestyle changes, which is really difficult. But I think being 26, I was moldable, you know?
Right, right.
It's a little easier than if you're like 60, you know, to change habits and ways. Yeah. But it was still hard. It still changed my daily habits and my life and things like that. But just engaged in some healthier habits. And it took a couple years to sort of get healthy again. And then, of course, babies come.
Of course.
We all know babies mess with our systems. Even if you're perfectly healthy, your body and your system just, they just change. And so all the time while I was pregnant and nursing for 6 years, I couldn't take any medication. Mm. So I just relied on, you know, Tylenol and things like that. And if you have really severe chronic migraines, Tylenol is just like a Band-Aid for a bullet wound. You know, it doesn't do a whole lot. But again, I just powered through those years. And then finally, when I was done nursing my last one, got back on some daily medicine and that helped. But still, I've always tried to manage my migraines as best I could. I've always searched for something that would give me consistent relief because I think I would, you know, feel relief for three or four days, then I would get a migraine. Then I would feel relief for another few days and I would get a migraine. So it's really just been in the past year or two that I feel like I have a really good handle on my migraines. I know even more triggers than I did before, and I've engaged in some treatment that has really helped, which again, we'll get into that later. So I don't know. That has been my journey with chronic pain and chronic migraines. And I know there's so many people listening, in especially women who deal with chronic migraines. But there's lots of other types of chronic pain. So what about you? Have you ever dealt with chronic pain?
Yes, my story is quite similar to yours. So I also deal with chronic migraines. And so we are a super fun bunch here. And I've dealt with them since I was probably, I remember it was about 15 when they started getting really bad. And it's funny, you were talking about college, and I was the same way. I didn't really know how to deal with them or how to even ask for help. And so it was the same thing. I just took a lot of Tylenol and, you know, powered through. And then when I was 23, I was pregnant with my first child, and I did not have a migraine for the entire time I was pregnant with her, which was crazy. It was the longest I had ever gone not having a migraine. And then I had, you know, if people have heard my story, I had three babies basically in less than three years. And so I was pregnant pretty much for like 3-4 years, and I didn't have migraines at all during my pregnancies. And I didn't really ever think to ask my doctor, it wasn't until after I'd had my third baby, did I actually go, and then my migraines got really bad. So it was a similar thing to yours. I had migraines every single day for months, and we finally went and saw a neurologist and, you know, really talked about what was going on, and found out then that my migraines were hormonal. And it's funny that I had had migraines for about 12 to 14 years without even knowing what my triggers were. Mm-hmm. I was just living with them because I thought, oh, this is just my life. This is just how it's got to be. And so I finally started getting some treatment and finally found some medication that helped. And I still suffer with them, you know, but I know more now of what my triggers are, like you said, and kind of when to expect them and that sort of thing. And so that definitely has made my life a little more manageable, because it is so hard when you're dealing with chronic pain, and especially something like a migraine that you can't, when they get to that point when they're so bad that you can't even have noise around you, light around you, anything like that. That is such a challenge. And so I've dealt with that for most of my life. And then also since pregnancies as well, like you said, pregnancies really mess with us. I had carpal tunnel really bad when I was pregnant. And then after it would always go away between pregnancies. But after my last baby, it just continued to get worse. And so I deal with a lot of nerve pain. I've got nerves that are all messed up in both arms. And so my arms constantly fall asleep, and just constant pain in carpal tunnel nerves and my ulnar nerve. And so I deal with a lot of pain like that. And really over the last 6 months or so, it's gotten just increasingly worse, which makes it really hard to function every day. And so, and I think I just got to the point I was like, oh, this is just normal. This is how everybody functions like this. Mm-hmm. I'm getting older, and so everybody has these aches and pains, and that's fine. Until I finally talked to a doctor, my husband, and they're like, no, you shouldn't feel this way. Like, you're too young to have this constant daily pain.
Yeah.
And so I think that when we live with chronic pain, we just think, oh, everybody else has these normal aches and pains like I'm experiencing. Mm-hmm. So that's a little bit of my story. Painful body.
A few things that you said, you know, we were talking about just powering through. I think when we are young and, you know, college and right after college, we just have that. Well, we're so busy. that mm-hmm. we don't have time to stop and think about pain. Right. And I think in college, at least I did, just felt like I was invincible.
Yes.
And which I made some really dumb mistakes thinking I was invincible. But, you know, you just think, I can get through this. And I've got right. too many right. other things to worry about. And you don't have access to your doctor if you are in college away from home. Yeah, so it's
a lot more challenging.
Yeah, a lot of factors that play into that. But another thing that I thought of was I had a yoga instructor one time who was in PT school. And mm-hmm. she was doing some research and said that the people who have the highest pain tolerance are professional athletes and people with chronic migraines. Because we live to learn, like we learn to live with pain on a daily basis. And right. I thought that was so interesting. So I think when anyone who has chronic pain, you do learn to function at a different level than most people. You know, yeah. your pain tolerance goes up because yeah, for sure. pain becomes your new normal.
Yeah.
And you said that.
I thought you were going to say that moms have the highest pain tolerance.
Well, yeah, that too. We all know that. But yeah, I think people with chronic pain, we just learn to live
with
a different level of pain. It becomes our normal.
I agree.
Okay, so some interesting facts about chronic pain. I did not know this. 100 million Americans suffer from chronic pain.
Wow.
That is insane. Like, what has happened to this day and age versus 50 years ago that now all of a sudden everybody's in chronic pain?
Well, and maybe it was the same then, but I feel like people were stronger back then because it was the same situation. They didn't have all the help. Hundreds of years ago, they didn't have all the easy medicine. We expect everything to be easy for us now. And true. So maybe we're just weak now. We struggle to deal with it, but
yeah. Well, we want to take a pill and have it instantly go away.
Exactly. Exactly. And so it's a lot more challenging for us to deal with chronic pain because we want to feel great. And, you know, maybe that years ago, people were dying of, you know, the common cold. Where yeah. now it's like, I'm going to go take some DayQuil, knock this out, and power through my day.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That's interesting.
True. Well, chronic pain is also the number one cause of long-term disability.
Wow.
And chronic pain affects more Americans than diabetes, heart disease, and cancer combined. That's hard to believe because I feel like cancer has a huge population.
Yeah. Are people just not talking about this?
I don't think they're talking about. I think what we've said, we just start accepting it as our normal.
Or because, you know, cancer is so aggressive. And so, you know, things like heart disease and diabetes, you have to do a lot more. You need a lot more medical treatment for those types of things. And yes. so, like you said, we just power through and deal with the chronic pain and think it's not as big of a deal.
Yes. Well, and you can't see chronic pain.
Yes.
And so I think that is a contributing factor, too. We feel like we have to carry on as normally as possible because no one can see the pain. I remember telling my husband once, I wish there was something on my face that could show you how bad I feel.
Right. Yeah.
So it's hard. It's hard.
Yeah.
Okay, last little stat for our listeners. Chronic pain costs around $600 billion a year in medical treatments and lost productivity.
Wow.
Yeah, that's huge. And I remember when I was dealing with my 6-month migraine and I was at work and I took a 3-month leave from work. Uh-huh. So that's definitely the lost productivity.
Yeah, for sure.
So feel so bad for my employer. And they were great, though. They gave me that time off. They wanted me to come back, but I was like, I'm not, like, I still have this 24/7 migraine. Like, it hasn't gone away yet. And I just felt like adding that stress would make it worse.
Yeah.
So, all right. So let's talk about some examples of chronic pain because we've talked about migraines, nerve pain. What are some other ways that people experience chronic pain?
Okay. So we have a list here. I'm just going to read through these really quickly for you guys. We are not medical professionals, so don't rely on us to diagnose you.
If you thought at all that we were medical professionals, we definitely want that disclaimer. Yes. We are moms who are experts in Band-Aids, and that's about it.
That's right. I mean, if you have questions about migraines, we're probably a pretty good audience to come to. But other than that, so here are some examples of chronic pain that people deal with. And honestly, a few of these, I was like, oh, I didn't think about that being a chronic pain issue. So
yeah,
let's chat through these. So there's fibromyalgia, which is chronic pain through muscle tissues. There is diabetic neuropathy, which is nerve damage caused by diabetes, and this causes pain throughout your body. There is endometriosis, tissues in the uterus. They expand and grow outside of the uterus. That just sounds painful.
Yeah, I have a lot of friends with endometriosis, but I never thought of it as a chronic pain issue.
Yeah, exactly. Another one is depression, which, yeah.
Yeah.
Because the definition of chronic pain is something you deal with for more than 12 weeks. And so,
yeah. When I was reading about chronic pain, there's a whole classification for basically non-physical types of pain. And depression was one of them. But again, we don't think of that as chronic pain.
Right. Right.
Even though it is.
Yeah. So another one is joint pain, such as arthritis, tendonitis, and this is a buildup of fluid in the joints. And nerve pain, like I was talking about, with things like carpal tunnel, sciatica pain. I have dealt with both of these.
Yeah.
And as, you know, lovely pregnancies do things to our bodies. Plantar fasciitis is inflammation of the tendons of your foot. And then, of course, there's things like back pain and migraines, like we talked about.
Yeah. I've had plantar fasciitis. That is pretty painful.
Yeah, well, when you're having to, like, put pressure on that, that sounds really painful.
Yeah, it lasted about 6 months.
Oh.
But I haven't had problems since, so.
That's good.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of other chronic pain conditions. We can't really go into all of them and name them all. Those are just a few of the more common ones. The good thing is that there's things that we can do to help prevent or even help lessen chronic pain. Unfortunately, this is something I'm really bad about, but it really revolves around maintaining a healthy lifestyle. 'Cause for me personally, it's, well, I'm in pain, so I want to put a Band-Aid on it rather than get to the root of the problem. Mm-hmm. And I bet a lot of people who struggle with that are in that way because, you know, oh, well, my hip hurts, so I can't go work out today. Oh, I have a migraine, so I'm just going to eat whatever's in the cabinet and go to bed. And so what are some things that we can do to help maintain a healthy lifestyle and help either prevent or lessen our chronic pain?
Yeah, so healthy diet, which none of us want to hear.
Oh, well, but it's the first of the year. Everybody's on a diet kick now.
Well, that's true. But, you know, I think there has been a lot of research about, you know, everyone is gluten-free now, which
yeah.
I've been gluten-free for about 4 years because I had two different doctors tell me it would help with my migraines. The first one, I was like, whatever, I'm not doing that. That sounds yeah. really difficult and not fun. But then when the second doctor told me, I was like, okay, fine. But yeah, there's a lot of research that wheat and gluten cause inflammation. So that can lead to chronic pain. So healthy yeah. diet, exercise, and which that's just good for everyone, even if you're yeah. not, you know, prone to chronic pain.
Right.
I remember once I took off, I didn't exercise for like 6 or 7 months for some mm-hmm. reason. And my lower back started hurting. My hips hurt. Like I would wake up in the middle of the night and I yeah, thought, I've got to do something about this.
Yeah.
Maintaining a healthy weight, getting plenty of sleep, and then lowering your stress. And again, just having good posture like we just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But there's lots of ways if you do have chronic pain that you can treat it. And I remember a doctor telling me, you'll never cure your migraines, but you can learn to manage them.
Yeah.
And for some people, that might sound really defeating. But for me, I like to just shoot me straight. For me, that was encouragement to push me to start the journey of finding ways to manage it and knowing that medication is not the end all be all. It's definitely a part of how I manage my migraines, but there's so many other things that play a factor.
Right, right.
So some of those things that we can do to treat our chronic pain is medication, obviously. Mm-hmm. We can take nerve blocks, surgery in really extreme cases.
Right.
The lifestyle that we just talked about, maintaining that healthy lifestyle. And then there's some more holistic treatments. So this is where I have found a lot of relief. When I was back in my 20s in that really dark period where my migraines were just ruling my life, my doctor said, you know, you cannot do any high impact exercise. And back then I was a big runner and I taught step aerobics. I was like, had the Britney Spears microphone.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was awesome. That's the 90s. And he said, you can't do any of that anymore. You can walk, you can do yoga, and you can do Pilates. And I was devastated. Yeah. I was such a cardio junkie. When he said that, I was like, that's not even real exercise.
Oh.
I know. I was so prideful. So, yeah. So I just started taking a yoga class because the gym that I went to, it was the only one that fit my schedule. My doctor made me walk 20 minutes a day. Like, with this throbbing migraine, he was like, you yeah. will do this every day. But I've been teaching yoga now for about 12 years, and it is a huge part of managing my pain. There's times I'll go into a class with a headache and I will leave and it will feel so much better.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah. So it's been great. I also know some people swear by oils. What do you think about oils and chronic pain?
I have not experienced them to help me personally, but I know a lot of people do. So
yeah.
I mean, I got to the point like you that I was like, I'll try anything. Give mm-hmm. me all the things. And so, yeah, it hasn't helped with my migraine specifically or any of my chronic pain issues. But yeah, I mean, they help with different things. So,
yeah, I feel like oils for me, it takes the edge off when I have a migraine.
Yeah.
But it doesn't make the migraine go away.
Right. And I have medication that makes it go away. So exactly. I'm like, give me that.
Yeah. But I'm like you. I have people who swear to me that it takes away their back pain and their migraines.
Yeah.
And so if it does, if it works for you, great. Go for it.
Yeah.
Massage therapy is a big one.
I've done this for my nerve pain. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was crazy, too, because I don't like to spend money on myself. Like most moms, we're like, no, I can't go get a massage because
yeah.
it takes time away. It's expensive, you know, all those things. But I had a gift card one time. I went to use the gift card and get this massage. And on the little paper that you fill out about like specific areas or whatever, there was a thing about carpal tunnel and, you know, nerve pain and things like that. And I was like, so I asked the massage therapist, can this help with these specific pain issues I'm having? And then she was like, yeah, absolutely. And so she did some specific things. And I had more relief after that massage than I had had in years.
Oh, that's awesome.
So it was pretty crazy. So those kind of things I really think can help with specific issues for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Along those same lines, acupuncture has been mm-hmm. shown to help chronic pain. Have you ever tried that?
I haven't. Haven't you done this?
Yeah, I did it.
Yeah.
Again, back in my dark days, I went to an acupuncturist twice a week. And, you know, I was doing so many different things that at that time that I don't know if that was one of the things that helped. But I'm definitely all for it. I think what makes people shy away from it is it's expensive.
Yeah, exactly.
And most insurance does not pay for acupuncture.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was great because he was also a massage therapist. So he mm-hmm. would do acupuncture for an hour and then massage therapy for an hour.
Oh, that's amazing.
I know. And I would tell my husband, I'm sorry, this is what the doctor has prescribed.
Yeah, I have to do this.
Got to do it. another one would be physical therapy.
Yeah, I've done that too.
Have you done that for carpal tunnel?
Not for carpal tunnel, but for some other, especially after pregnancy,
uh-huh.
I had a lot of chronic pain and, did physical therapy and it did help a lot.
Okay. Yeah. And you said your sciatica, you did it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And a few other things that we won't go into today.
We'll save that. And then counseling, obviously we talked about depression and I think just dealing with chronic pain, it helps mm-hmm. to talk that through. And then the last thing is support groups.
Yeah.
So
you are
you're my support group. That's right. Which it does help to have someone who understands.
It does. It really does.
Yeah. So even if you don't go to a formal support group, you know, just finding that one person that understands your pain.
Yeah. Well, and nowadays there's like Facebook groups for people who have this thing, you know, so
yes.
I mean, you can always find groups. You know, I'm in a support group for parents whose kids have gone through what my son went through because he had to have that really intense surgery. I think I talked about it in one episode. And so it's really nice that it's like it's not a super common thing. And so it's nice to have all these other parents that have been through that. So same type of thing. It's easy nowadays to find people that are walking through what you are.
So what advice would you give to people who are dealing with chronic pain?
I would say ask for help, because that was my issue for so many years that I've just thought, oh, this is just how life is. This is how it's supposed to be. And I just have to power through. And sitting here living in pain is not the best place to be, especially when there's things that can help. And so really just talking to somebody, whether it's your spouse, and telling them, you know, helping get onto a better routine, and then seeing a doctor to talk through those things is so important, because I'm one of those people that I'm like, I don't want to go to the doctor. I don't want to complain about things that's going on with me, but it's so important to get healthy and do the best you can to get that help.
I like what you said about getting help, because I think especially women, we are not good at asking for help when we don't feel well. I remember one time I posted on Facebook, this was back before people actually posted pictures and people only posted words.
Right.
And I said something about, I had a migraine. I was literally laying in my closet and just ignoring my kids. I felt so bad. And someone responded, it was a friend of mine who had moved to another state, and she said, will someone go over there and get her kids for her?
Yeah.
And I remember thinking like, oh, yeah, A, that would be nice if someone offered to come get my kids. But B, I should have been able to call a friend and say, hey, I'm dealing with this migraine. Would you mind just taking my kids for like 2 hours just so I can lay down for a little bit?
Right.
But we don't ever feel like we have the permission to do that.
I know. It's so crazy. And it's something in our culture that we feel like we can't actually live in community with each other. Mm-hmm. And in any other culture, a woman would not think twice to call someone in her community or go next door and say, hey, can you help me? It's just crazy to me that in our culture, we feel like we have to do it all on our own.
Yeah.
So what would you say, how would you encourage someone to love someone else that deals with chronic pain? Because I think that can be challenging.
Yeah.
Because when you don't know what someone's going through, you don't know what they're dealing with, how can you still love them well?
Yeah, that's good. So I would tell them to be patient. Don't try to understand, but just accept what they're telling you. You're never going to understand what it's like to be in pain on a daily basis unless you're in pain on a daily basis.
Right.
So some days your loved one might be in pain and they might still be able to clean the house or they might be able to go to work, but sometimes they might be in pain and they might be bedridden all day. Mm-hmm. And as their loved one, as their friend, as their support system, we can't question, well, why could you go to work yesterday and you can't today? Or why could you do the dishes yesterday, but today you're like on the couch? You know, we just need to accept what they're telling us and have empathy and grace for that, and let them have a hard day, let them have a bad day. And then on their good days, rejoice in that and encourage them.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, what would be a final encouragement that you would leave with someone who is dealing with chronic pain?
Yeah, I would tell people just to never stop looking for relief or new ways to manage their pain. And if they try something and it doesn't work for them, and especially if it worked for someone they knew, not to get discouraged, but just to know there's so many other treatments and things that they can do. And so just to keep trying. And like we said, sometimes you'll try something, it'll work, and then you'll become immune to it. So you got to try something else. Maybe something you tried 5 or 10 years ago didn't work, but try it again. You know, you're in a different place. You're in a different season with your pain now. So I would just say, just keep trying things. Don't give up. Don't lose hope. And don't resign yourself to the fact of, I'm going to be in the worst pain for the rest of my life.
I've loved talking with you about this today. Thank you for being so open and vulnerable about some of your pain issues. I hope that this encourages some of our listeners today, whether they're dealing with chronic pain or just have someone in their life that is. We are going to take a quick break and hear from a sponsor, and then we will be back to wrap up with resources. We live in a noisy world. one that clamors and calls for our attention and lays on us demands and expectations we were never meant to carry. Now, somewhere along the way, we began to chase the urgent while missing out on what's most important. And we started to believe the lie that we hold all things together, when in fact, it's Jesus who does. As we start a new year, do you feel it in your soul, the call to a different way of living? This is why we think everyone needs a Faithful Life Planner. The Faithful Life Planner isn't your typical planner. The goal of this planner is faithfulness over success and purposeful living over simply staying busy. This planner will not help you run faster. It will help you slow down, listen, and linger to God and walk in the plans that He has for you. Get your Faithful Life Planner at faithfulmoms.org/planner and use the code for a friend for 10% off your planner. We love ours, and we know you will too.
Okay, we are back. And as you know, if you've listened to our show before, you know that we like to discuss something that we are reading or watching or listening to that is helping us reframe the way we see the world. So, Kara Kay, what are you reading or watching or listening to this week?
Okay, I just read a book called Miracles and Other Reasonable Things by Sarah Bessie. Have you seen this book yet?
No, I have not.
It just came out in last fall, and I read it, and it was incredible. And as we're talking about chronic pain, this is a book that really popped into my mind because I just finished it. She really breaks down her story. And she was in this isn't really a surprise, but she really goes into the story, and she was in a really bad car accident, and it caused a lot of chronic pain for her. And so she walks through what that looks like for her now, and she's had to step away from things that she really loves to do because of some of the pain issues that she's dealing with. And so I would highly recommend this book for anybody to read. It was a great book, but I loved reading her story of chronic pain and how she just finds hope in that and is able to change her lifestyle and maybe have to say no to some things that you love, but to be able to live, you know, a better, freer life, even when you're dealing with chronic pain.
Yeah, that's good. Well, I watched over the Christmas break, I watched The Joker with Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah.
So my oldest son is 14. He wanted to watch it. So my husband and I said, we are going to have to screen this first. And I'm so glad we did. I don't think he's ready for it. I told him maybe when he was like...
I don't think I'm ready for it.
Yeah, it was pretty dark. And you know me, I love dark.
Yes.
But this was tough. Just a lot of really gory scenes. And then the part that I thought that was really interesting was, you know, it focuses on mental illness. And because the Joker is mentally ill. And it was so hard and sad to watch his struggle. Just with the way people perceived him, the way people treated him because of his disability. And he wrote in his journal, "The toughest thing about having a mental illness is that everyone expects you to act like you don't."
Wow.
And I thought that was so profound and so true. And I think, you know, this goes back to our episode where we talked about kids and anxiety. If you have a child, whether they have anxiety or ADHD, ADD, you know, sensory issues, autism, again, just like chronic pain, those are things people can't see. And so when your child lashes out or behaves in a way that is not politically correct or acceptable, people don't understand and they start labeling your child and they want them to behave as if they don't have these limitations. And when I saw the Joker, it was just heartbreaking over the way he was treated. Now, he definitely made some very egregious mistakes.
Yeah.
pretty violent. But, you know, it showed what led up to that. And it was really tough to watch.
Yeah. I have thought the same thing that it... I haven't seen it yet, but it does look very hard to watch.
Yeah. Thanks to everyone for listening today as we chatted about chronic pain and answered the question, how can I live with chronic pain? We hope this conversation helps you rethink the life you are cultivating. Now make sure you join us next week as we talk about friendship and answer the question, why are friendships so hard? It's going to be a very rich conversation. I can't wait. Okay, anything else, Kara Kay?
Yes, we would love if you guys could leave us a review on iTunes for the podcast. This helps people find us and join us in these conversations each week. Also, we would love to connect with you guys on Facebook and Instagram. We are at The Asking Pod. Each week we post new questions and share things that we are discussing on the podcast. We always want to have your input for these discussions. You can also connect with each of us on Instagram. I am at KaraK.James and Elizabeth is at Elizabeth_Oates.
And finally, keep asking questions for a friend.